independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Why do you want Davis Mills benched? I'm hearing some people say it, but I don't see any traction here. I haven't seen one good reason why. FedEx Mike says, I want to bench because I picked up Kyle Allen in my fantasy league and I need a win. I can tell your team's not winning, FedEx Mike. And we're not worried about your fantasy team. No one cares about your fantasy team.
That's the difference in night and day. If that's the difference between wins and losses on your fantasy team, take that L.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Kingwood Eric, honestly, there's no good reason. You went in trying to see what you had, and now you know, just finish the season or lick your wounds. Like, this isn't also like college football coaches. They get fired at the halfway point because you're trying to get a head start on the head coaching carousel, the head coaching cycle. This isn't the same thing. Like, you're not getting a head start on the rookie quarterback class. You're already there, and you're not playing that guy. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Who'd you say it was, Matt? You said it was Matt, right, Brendan? You can't tell me anything.
Matt.
I have terrible short-term
Matt.
Memory. I need it in writing, Brendan. I need it in writing. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Matt, you're in the Hive. Why do you want to bench Davis Mills?
So for the only aspect is Josh Allen to come in, or not Josh Allen.
You wish.
Josh Allen, you would have done it 2 years ago.
I wish it was. to make the games a little competitive, but still lose and prove that Davis Mills, to all the people that are the part of the Mills Mafia, to prove that he is not even close to the answer for the future. Still lose, but just prove Davis Mills is not it.
But you've already done that.
He did that. He did that for himself. I think, I mean, that to me, it's already been decided, but the one thing you don't want to do is have someone end up doing something right to prove something to themselves and others that costs you the best draft position you could possibly have.
What if it's worse, too? What if it's worse, and then all these people are like, "Oh, Davis Mills isn't the, you know, it's not the reason that they're bad. It's Pep Hamilton. It's lack of skill position. It's lack of offensive line." What if they're way worse, and then now there's that sparks that fire even more?
Yeah, look, I don't understand it, and I don't understand, just like I don't understand anybody left in the Mills Mafia that's willing to defend Davis Mills, I don't understand why anybody sees the positives and the benefits to benching him now. We said that you wanted to get a full slate. He was bridging the gap for a season. He was doing you the solid of showing you what he could do, but at the same time proving to us and the rest of the free world that he wasn't the guy, so you could go out and get that person in the draft and have nobody in your way, standing in the way between you and whoever the hell you want. Whichever guy, take your pick. You're at the ice cream store and you don't need, of all 31 flavors, you get to pick whichever one you want and no one stands in the way and says, oh, we're out of that one because the person in front of you just ordered the last of it. You get the cream of the crop if you just play your cards right and keep doing what you've been doing. And from this point, all you need is for Davis Mills to keep Davis Millsing and you are in the driver's seat.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Why do you want to see Davis Mills benched? I haven't heard one good reason yet. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. John, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, John?
John, go.
John.
Okay, so can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so we all. I think we all agree that we've seen enough of David Mills and that he's not the guy of the future, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
But have we seen enough of Nico Collins? Have we seen enough of the wide receiver core? Have we seen enough, you know, Davis Mills holds that ball so long, you know, do we really what we're doing with this offensive line? So, you know, we need to – I don't think if you put Kyle Allen in there or whoever, we're going to win 2, 3, 4 games and jeopardize our draft choice. But we got to see what we're doing with the rest of these players on this team. It's not just about – it's not about Mills at all anymore. I think that's been well established. But, you know, what about these wide receivers? We keep hearing about the next step Nico Collins is going to make. But have we been able to see it? No, because they can't get
John
the ball.
John has had the best point to date, but it's still not a good one. Collins has had some good games under Davis Mills, and it's not to say that Kyle Allen is an upgrade over Davis Mills. We really don't know. He might be.
Allen's won some games in the NFL. He had a short stint there where he was playing fairly well for Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle Allen could be better than Davis Mills. I'm not arguing that, but it's not going to impact our view of Nico Collins. And plus, you're looking to get better at the quarterback position as well. I don't think anything you see over the last few games, whether it's a decent quarterback or a less than decent quarterback, throwing the football to Nico Collins is going to change our opinion or Nick Caserio's opinion of Nico Collins, who they traded up in the draft to get. He's going to be here. You're not looking to make any sort of like roster upgrades over wide receiver number two. And quite honestly, that's the only position that you're like the only player really that you're even thinking about getting a huge look at. Damian Pierce, we have our opinion there. Brandon Cooks, we have our opinion there. The Texans are using retread tight ends. We have our opinion there. Like, who's playing quarterback isn't going to swing or influence any offensive player and their status as a Houston Texan going forward.
No, it really isn't. And you look at it and say, you know what you have in Pierce. We've even said to shut him down or to start minimizing his carries because you don't want him to take excessive beating in a season that's basically lost while you know that he's going to be a part of your long-term future. Nico Collins is going to be on this team next season going into training camp, and whoever your quarterback's going to be is going to have ample opportunities to work with him, and they both can show what they can do. But right now, what you're trying to do is, yeah, there's resumes that are being built on a daily basis, but for the most part, the young players that you spent draft capital on, unless they completely act out off the field and show that they have just totally lost their desire to play the game of football, they're going to be back. And the veterans, unfortunately, what Brandon Cooks has turned out to be. And you know he doesn't want to be here. And you know he's not a captain and he's not a leader and he's not a culture guy like they thought. But you also know with his contract, there's not a whole lot you can do no matter who's throwing him the football. So it really doesn't matter. Laremy Tunsil is what he is. We know what he's getting paid. So you know where he's going to be and he's probably going to stay. Other than that, we've seen the offensive line, like you said. The tight ends, not a lot to choose from. Is O.J. Howard going to be back? I would take him over anybody else they have at tight end right now. But but other than that, there's not a whole lot of evaluations to be done. And the one thing you need to evaluate, too, is from a Davis Mills perspective, is he good enough to at least be a backup in this league? Is it whether it's for you or for another team?
Davis Mills is under contract for two more years after this year. Kyle Allen, I think, is on a one-year deal.
I think he is, too.
So, like, the only quarterback that's under roster on this team would be Davis Mills going forward. So, like, playing Kyle Allen to see what you think of the receivers, it's not going to change what we think of Nico Collins. Well, it's not going to change what we think of Brandon Cooks.
Well, and to my point, Jeremy, you know what it's doing? It's building a resume for Kyle Allen to play somewhere else next year, which you don't care about. Because on a one-year deal, benching Davis Mills for Kyle Allen is only doing Kyle Allen a favor to try and find himself another job next year. It's not finding out if Davis Mills could be your backup next season.
Yeah, this year was about figuring out what Davis Mills was. The conversation was, can he be a starting quarterback in the NFL? I think we have our answer that currently he cannot be a starting quarterback in the NFL, so the question's changed. We're still trying to figure out who Davis Mills is, but now the question is, can he be a backup for your team next year where it's not going to really be Kyle Allen? 713-780-3776, back out to the HRP listener line for Adrian. Adrian, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hi, how's it going, guys?
What's great up, Adrian?
Hey, my question to you guys is how do we know that the world may never know about Davis Mills? I mean, because it's not like the 2012 Texans where we knew that Matt Schaub wasn't the guy because we had a pretty good team. Davis Mills, you put him on a team that's really good. Who's to say that he won't do good? Because he doesn't have a whole lot of a team to play with now. And I'll shut up and I'll let you guys discuss that.
Appreciate the call, Adrian. Who's to say? I mean, I think we see Davis Mills throw the football more than most cities in this country, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not big on the one-pass sample. First pass he threw in this past game to the Commanders shows you that he's capable of making terrible throws. He's capable of making passes that college quarterbacks shouldn't be making. I mean, he threw the ball 3 yards behind Brandon Cooks, and he told you post-game he didn't miss by much. If Davis Mills thinks that that was not missing by much, I don't want that guy throwing passes for my NFL team. Also, like, there's numbers out there that Davis Mills throws like the highest percentage of uncatchable passes of any other starting quarterback in the NFL, so it really doesn't matter the target. He's trying to hit them. Brandon Cooks is a solid NFL receiver. Do I think he quit on the team? Yes, absolutely. But Brandon Cooks has been solid his entire NFL career. Nico Collins, is he a number two? He's probably on the fringe. He's probably more of a number three than a number two, quite honestly. So, like, the skill position players aren't great, but it's not awful. I mean, Damian Pierce has been a really good rookie. Some people think he's a top 10 running back. Brandon Cooks has had 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He was good last year to the point where Nick Caserio wanted to give him a 2-year contract extension. I don't think Mills has the most targets, but I think Mills is pretty awful.
Yeah, look, I mean, he is who he is. Even if you exclude that first pass for the pick six, you look at the fact that even Brendan alluded to it, that the things that I've been talking about all year, he can't throw an out route. more of his out routes hit the popcorn vendor in the ass than they do a receiver in the hands. He can't make the simple look one way, throw the other way, looking off defenders. He can't get through his progressions. He doesn't follow the kind of things that his internal clock is ticking at a speed trying to clock Usain Bolt in a sprint as opposed to understanding what the game clock is and how the rush is coming at him. He does all the things the exact opposite of the way that you want a true starting quarterback in this league to do and act, and it's already been clearly cut and defined for you, but he's got to do it for a couple more games because he's got to get you through the rest of the season so that you can move on from him or make him your backup quarterback while you get all the young, the new class of young talent that can make this roster increasingly better than it was a year ago and way better than it was 2 years ago.
713-780-3776. Back to the HRP listener line. Brian, we'll get to Brian coming. Actually, do we say the drop on us, Brendan? All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Why do you want to see Davis Mills bench? We're hearing some reasons. I still don't feel like I've heard a good reason yet. Why do you want Mills bench? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. If you're here, why don't you make it a Coors or Miller's Light? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Give me a reason why Davis Mills should be benched. He's lousy. I understand that. But why? Why go to the bench when you have one win? You're trying to secure that number one pick in the NFL draft. 713-780-ESPN. Uncle Barney said, bench Mills because there has to be a worse quarterback than Mills that we can play. I'm not so sure that there is. I can understand that Kyle Allen better than Davis Mills, at least right now. I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. You can sell me the idea that Allen's better right now than Davis Mills, and I'd be like, meh. It's hard to say no because Davis Mills is playing so bad. But he also says embrace the suck, so do what is in the worst interest of the team. And then he said LMAO. I didn't realize Uncle Barney spoke that way. On to you, Uncle Barney. 713-780-ESPN. Here's one that a couple of people have texted in, Lamont asking it as well. Because you want to see what Pep Hamilton is. You want to see what the offense looks like without Davis Mills to see if it's either a Davis Mills problem or a Pep Hamilton problem. 8437, I want him to sit to see if Mills or Hamilton's offense that is causing the problems. I'm not asking Allen to go out there and win. I'm just asking to see if there's someone on the team that can make the offense work. Because if this offense is the problem, regardless of Mills or Allen starting this year, and is the offense one we go into? Is this the offense we go into next season with a new quarterback? What is it to make me believe anything will be any different? I think that might be our winner of, like, why you should bench Davis Mills. But I would add this. I've never really thought a whole lot about Pep Mills as an offensive – or Pep Hamilton, rather, as an offensive coordinator anyways. If you go back and look at his previous stops as a play caller, it was hit or miss. Mm-hmm. Colts with luck was pretty good. Colts without luck got him fired midseason. He's also a lifer in the NFL, much like David Culley was a lifer in the NFL. If he was this offensive wizard, great play caller, he's going to do whatever he can that's going to make the offense click and work, why is it taking him this long? Suddenly in year 25 as a coach in the NFL, he's going to be an offensive wizard when he's never been an offensive wizard in his life? I already have the answer to both questions. Pep Hamilton ain't it, and Davis Mills ain't it.
I agree with both. I think that the ideal scenario is, and it's a lot of times when we talk about, you know, we've had this conversation multiple times about, look, there are guys that are meant to be coordinators in this league that just don't have the makeup to be a head coach. And I think Wade Phillips is a guy that always comes to my mind as a guy that's always going to be a stellar defensive coordinator, but he just couldn't put it together and do the things necessary a lot of times as a head coach. And there's other guys. But I think you can also say it a positional coach. I think Pep Hamilton has proven that he could be a really, really good quarterback coach that can develop quarterbacks, can get them the kind of things that they need to know and information under their belt and experience to get them prepared to be the best quarterback they can be. But he's not a play caller. And the plays that he calls, to your point, in terms of the amount of time that he's been in the league to over the longevity of his career, he's not an offensive play caller in my mind. So the ideal situation would be if you get a young quarterback in the draft that he's your quarterback coach and he can really work with that kid and help to develop him. But he's not going to want to take a step back here. He might look for a job elsewhere. So he's either your offensive coordinator next year or, in my mind, he's not on this staff.
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter, if I'm being honest with you.
I agree.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can bring in a young quarterback and expect Pep Hamilton to be the OC and Lovie Smith the head coach, for that matter, and expect to get the most out of that rookie. Like, if you're going to draft a quarterback 1-1, which, look, I want a quarterback 1-1. I think that you want a quarterback 1-1.
Yep.
Some people say, hey, look, best available. I understand that logic. I wouldn't do it, but I understand that logic. Maybe you don't like these three quarterbacks because they all have questions. Bryce Young's petite. He is small. C.J. Stroud, is he a product of the system? Will Levis has been terrible in his final year in college. All three of the top three quarterback prospects have huge questions. I get it. So if Nick Caserio is like, hey, I don't want either one of those three guys. They're not what we want. Okay. Like, well, you can make me believe Jalen Carter was the right pick or Will Anderson was the right pick. And you can keep this current staff. But if you're going to invest the number one overall pick on a franchise quarterback, you can't go the Trevor Lawrence route where you basically move him in a negative way in his rookie year. He went backwards as a rookie because he was on a coaching staff that was not suited to be in the NFL for one, but to also groom and develop a rookie quarterback. If you're going to make that investment with a premium draft pick in the NFL, the very best that you can have, you have to protect that investment with the very things around him, whether it's personnel, whether it's the staff.
No, you mentioned one of the other examples I was going to bring up, because the other two that I keep going to is a Sam Darnold and a Baker Mayfield. And guys that get in the wrong situation, you can say that, hey, a quarterback can overcome a bad coach or a bad coordinator. But you know what? At the same time, it can stunt their growth. And if you do it multiple times and you start at, you know, a bad cycle of coaches and a revolving door, it can actually ruin the career of your franchise quarterback before it ever gets started. And Trevor Lawrence luckily escaped after 1 year. Sam Darnold didn't, and he never even, you know, ever has evolved to anything other than, you know, an overpaid guy that will underachieve so far for his entire career. Baker Mayfield had to take Freddie Kitchens on from a quarterback's coach to a head coach and a coordinator and do all kinds of things that really didn't put him in the best position for a while. And obviously then a lot of his shortcomings came out. You want a guy when he comes into the league to be in the most conducive situation to develop as quickly as possible and to excel as quickly as possible. That means you're not changing coaches every year or two or head coaches. So if you're going to make, you know, the commitment to take a quarterback 1-1, then I think that then the time is right definitely for a different offensive coordinator, because I don't think, as much as it's the right move to make to get another head coach, that you can do it 2 years in a row, especially with two African-American head coaches.
Yeah. 7682 says, maybe there's a QB2 out there like Geno waiting for his chance to take his team to another level. Colt McCoy comes to mind. Look, I get that. I get that. But the situation matters. Like, if you were a team that was in the playoff hunt, if you thought that you could make a move to your backup quarterback because you felt like your backup quarterback was going to give you a better chance to win on Sunday in this particular game coming up this week, that's when you make that move. Like, I understand it from that sense, from that logic of, okay, we still think we have a glimmer of hope that we could be a postseason team. Like, the situation the Texans are in, they're not looking for a spark. They're not looking for somebody to light a fire behind them. They're perfectly content to lose down the stretch. Does Lovie Smith like it? Obviously not. He's going to yell at Brian T. Smith about certain things. Do the players on the team like it? No, absolutely not. But the general manager who has told you to watch the process, not the results, doesn't want to win two games down the stretch because they get a fire out of Kyle Allen. It might cost them the number one pick. They understand the big picture approach is better to have the first overall pick and see what you have with Davis Mills. Davis Mills is under contract for two more seasons. Kyle Allen is free at the end of the year. You got to make sure that Davis Mills can be a backup quarterback for you next year. The conversation has changed. Start of the season, can Davis Mills be a starter? We now have our answer. The conversation from this point going forward, can Davis Mills be your backup quarterback next season?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's the only question left to answer. And to me, you know, when you look at whoever you might be, is the apple of your eye in terms of who you're going to draft, it's so important to not just get a modern guy, but get a guy that really has a clear-cut plan in terms of whether he comes from the McVay tree and all the guys that have had success that have gotten their start with an offensive line like McVay or Shanahan. Those are the two guys that come to mind initially for me to say, hey, you want guys that know how to coach like they do because their disciples have had success. They continue to have success. That's the kind of today's NFL that you want to teach whoever you take with your at the quarterback for next season. maybe that also helps Davis Mills along the way too. I don't know. But the most important thing is, it's like any other investment you make. You have to make sure you nurture it and take care of it. And in this case, it is so vital to the 5 to 7 year future of your franchise. You could set yourself back a couple of years, if not longer, if you screw around and keep this coaching staff there for whoever you bring in.
Yeah, the optics to me aren't a good enough answer. Like, it drove me crazy hearing the flagship, the highway to hell, everybody around town. Oh, yeah, Texans won the press conference. Great. Like, they're not going to win games.
No.
Like, everybody was celebrating the next day. Oh, love it. It sounds like they have a real head coach in town. Well, they have three fewer wins than they did with that dude that you thought was incompetent. Like, really, the head coaching position doesn't matter because the roster's so bad. But neither one are really capable of winning in the NFL right now. And if optics is the reason that you're continuously making wrong decisions, like it makes it very difficult to pull for an organization that's doing that. Like, go be brave. Go be bravado. Jim Crane is firing his GM after winning the World Series. Like, be bold. The Texans have really not been bold since Bill O'Brien left. And Bill O'Brien's bold decisions were terrible decisions. Like, trading DeAndre Hopkins was bold, but it was stupid. So, like, they've been not bold, and they've been kind of boring, really, since O'Brien left town. And that's not to say that I miss Bill O'Brien at all. It's just where the Texans are. 713-780-ESPN, 4727. NBA League City says, leave Mills in. He's 2-10 against the spread. Dude is a cash cow. That's a good point. 9458, Colt McCoy reminded me of Paul Crewe from Longest Yard. His O-line was just letting him get rocked last night. Yeah, I feel a little bad for Colt McCoy yesterday. But he's making plenty of money in the NFL as a backup quarterback. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Modelo Sports Cantina. Come by, tell your bartender server to make it a Coors or Miller Lite. We'll be here till 3. The Wheelhouse coming up after us until 7 o'clock. Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. Coming up next, cash it or trash it. What are our thoughts from the weekend that we're either cashing or trashing? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good. But that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a Killer Bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, Blankers. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. Come by. We'll be here till 3. Wheelhouse will be here until 7 o'clock. Tell your bartender server to make it a Coors or Miller Lite. Blankers, you want to get started on cash it or trash it?
Sure. Thanksgiving coming up. I just want to let you know, and for the whole world to know, that I believe that cranberries and beets are the two worst foods in Thanksgiving history. Honorable mention goes to pumpkin and pecan pie.
Hold on a second. You just said a whole lot there.
Yep.
Did you just compare cranberry and beets?
They
both suck.
Did
you say those in the same sentence?
No, cranberries suck.
How do they belong in the same sentence?
No, the sentence is, they suck and should be off all Thanksgiving menus. They're a waste of food.
I think you're 3 out of 4 wrong here.
Cranberries suck.
Who eats beets? Nobody eats beets.
No one eats beets, but they're always on the damn table. They're not even an appetizer. They're not even a filler.
I don't think I've seen a beet in 2 decades. Has anybody seen a beet? 713-780-3776. Cranberry sauce is fantastic.
Sucks.
I don't know what you're talking about here. You put a little cranberry in the bite with turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes.
I don't need all that.
It brings it all together. Brings
no,
a little
it
color to your Thanksgiving plate.
Color? I'm not trying to decorate my house or apartment. I'm trying to eat quality food. That's not quality food.
Your Thanksgiving plate needs a little feng shui, and the cranberry sauce brings the feng shui together. Pumpkin and pecan pie?
Suck.
What are you talking about?
They both suck.
They don't suck. They're both great.
They're worst choices in desserts. When you can have apple or cherry pie, and instead you go pecan or pumpkin, something's wrong with you.
What do you eat on Thanksgiving?
Apple
What's your
pie,
dessert?
Cherry pie. Hot apple pie with a little
apple
cinnamon.
Apple pie solid.
Yeah,
apple pie solid.
Apple pie with cinnamon, a little crispy on top with some hot ice, warm pie with ice cream. Come on, man.
The dessert table has to have pecan pie. It has to have pumpkin pie, and it needs a little bit of a strawberry pie, too. Strawberry pie is fantastic. That's a bad. I'm
strawberry
trashing that
pie?
One.
Pretty.
I'm
yeah,
struggling.
Strawberry pie is great.
Because
strawberry pie from the Flying Saucer is the best pie you'll
I've
ever
had
have.
Strawberry pie.
Gotta try it.
I'm struggling because, as you said, he gave us 4 things.
I agree with some. I disagree with some.
I gave honorable mention on the desserts, but the two things that don't belong on the table are cranberry sauce, but beets first and foremost.
I'm firmly with beets. I'm not really a cranberry sauce fan, but I also don't mind it.
If it comes out of a can looking like the larval stages of some insect and it just shakes, I don't need that.
I'm going to cash them with a lack of confidence.
Yeah, that one's bad.
I don't think turkey's great, so something needs to be on the Thanksgiving table.
All right. Yeah, I thought you were on my side until you said that.
Yeah, he just devalued his opinion. We're trashing this one.
Wait. How do you decide we're trashing that one?
Because Brendan and I decide on your take. It's how cash or trash
works. Well, Ed, I said cash.
I'm going to get my take, and y'all cash or trash my take.
He didn't say trash it. He said cash it.
I said cash him.
Right, but then we devalued his because he doesn't like Thanksgiving. So he doesn't give an, he didn't get an opinion. If he doesn't like Thanksgiving, why is he commenting about Thanksgiving?
So if it's me versus you, you don't win?
No, I don't think you know how cash or trash it works. Like, you say what you think, and then we decide if we're cashing it or trashing it. You don't decide on your own take whether you're cashing it or trashing it. You don't get a vote on your own take.
I don't know why not if I presented it in one way or the other. Yeah.
You do. Your vote is just cash.
But you're selling it. Yeah, you're selling it. You're selling it. You're not saying at the end of your take, hey, I'm cashing my own take. We already know that. You're the one who said it. All right, here's mine. So yesterday, I need to set this up a little bit. I have a theory on this whole Lane Kiffin to Auburn story. First, here was, I think it's Sokolov. It's Jake's friend.
Sokolov.
He works for somebody there in Bama. Sokolov, Sokolov, don't really care. Anyways, he works for somewhere there in Alabama. And he tweeted out that Lane Kiffin is leaving Ole Miss, is headed to Auburn. Here was the Wheelhouse reacting live to the news.
John Sokolov is reporting that Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin will step down as the head coach of the Rebels and go be the head coach of the Auburn Tigers.
Wow. If John says it's true, it's happening. He's very well connected. So Lane Kiffin to Auburn.
Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss to go to Auburn. That is not a bad Ole Miss team.
Why would he leave? Is Auburn that much better of a job?
It's got to be just
Is the money just insane?
I think the money and then just a bigger commitment to the facilities, the level of...
Does he want to take down Saban? Is that bad?
I wonder if that's part of it, too. You get to go
against the Iron Bowl, Kiffin versus Saban next year?
Kiffin and Saban.
That's enough of that.
He's stepping down before the Egg Bowl?
So there we go. John, if John's reporting this, it must be true. Lane Kiffin disagrees. Lane Kiffin quote tweeted the tweet and says, "That's news to me, John. Head in head emoji. Nice sources. X emoji. Demon emoji. Chair emoji. Plate with a knife and fork emoji." And then he would later tweet, he put a story out on his own. He said, "This just in, breaking news, John Sokolov," whatever his name is, "of WCBI News in Starkville, Mississippi, plans to step down as lead anchor and head to WLOX to become their new lead anchor. So John to WLOX is happening. Story soon." Lane Kiffin saying no. So here's my theory here. It is rivalry week. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Egg Bowl. I think John had this story planted to him by somebody from Mississippi State, Blankers.
Hmm. Now, I don't know because of the fact that I talked to some people this morning that told me as much as Kiffin has had success at Ole Miss, he's not really happy in Oxford. And it just doesn't seem like that's the place for him long term. We also know that he likes the minute that there's an ash that's dropped on a chair. That's a hot seat that he wants to get out of. And he will, in a moment's notice, fly to the next available job. So it doesn't surprise me that he'd be willing to look to the bigger, better deal. In this case, I think from a football perspective in college, Auburn has a higher standing and reputation than that of Ole Miss. I think there is something to the fact that Auburn playing Alabama and getting to compete against the guy that he likes to get under the skin of and go at in Nick Saban after working for him is something that he really, something interests him. And I'm sure the money's going to be good too. I could see this happening, but this is also so lame to get involved in it in social media and go back and forth.
Yeah. See,
so you cashing or trashing the theory?
The theory, I'm cashing it. I think he's gone.
The fact that it's Lane Kiffin is what makes it a little bit difficult. The theory makes sense. I enjoy the theory, but it is
Lane
Kiffin.
What happened. It's a fact.
I think I'm going to cash him because I'm on the fence again, and I enjoy the theory. The theory is funny.
I think it's the Egg Bowl. I think it's the Egg Bowl getting to John here. All right, Brandon, what you got?
The Texans have locked up the number one pick. You can already start deciding who you want them to take. They got a full game of cushion. They might beat the Jaguars. I think I'd even pick them to beat the Jaguars just because they do. But I don't think that they have a shot at any other game on their schedule.
go ahead, Jeremy, I'll start. I agree with him 100%. I even as we just spent, you know, segments debating whether Davis Mills should be benched or not, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback for this team because this is a lost season and this is a lost organization right now in terms of for the rest of the year from the offensive coordinator and the pieces, whether he has enough to call the right plays or not. They're not calling the right plays. The guys aren't executing the right plays. The defense can't stop the run. You're starting to see them sit down their key players for the future. They're not going to take any chances with Stingley as they didn't last week. I would assume at a certain point that they're going to do the same thing with Pierce just to make sure that he doesn't get a ton of you know, tread up, worn off the tires. And I think that the Texans, because of the fact that the Lions have found the winning tree, the fact that you're seeing the Raiders pull out wins in overtime, and that they have enough talent on that team that they can be competitive in a couple of games down the stretch. I think this is a cash in. I think that the Texans have wrapped up the number one overall pick.
Yeah, two wins clear. Is that the right way of saying that? Anyways, there's no other team in the NFL that has fewer than three wins other than the Texans who have one. I think you can start going ahead and looking at the mock drafts, the war rooms, and starting to plan out who you're drafting number one. Interim head coach Lovie Smith, too, has them moving in the wrong direction. I think they're playing worse now than they were at the start of the year. I'm cashing it. Blank, what's your second one?
Second one for me is Black Friday should be Black Friday for the idiots that want to lose sleep and think that they're going to gain something by getting a TV for a few hundred dollars less. The fact that Thanksgiving, as much as anything else, it is you give thanks and you spend time with your family and you relax. That means even the employees at Best Buy. That means all the idiots that want to pitch a tent and go out in the parking lot and sit there and try and get ready to get, you know, to pass block their way to getting a TV and a computer. That's fine on Friday morning. But let everybody in the free world have at least one afternoon and evening where they can kick their feet up, eat a whole lot of food, and relax instead of making people go into work so that the crazies can get a head start on trying to save a few bucks.
Oh, I'm trashing this. Black Friday is great. It's a national holiday.
It's on a Friday, not a Thursday night.
And you said one day to, like, sit around and eat. What are you doing on Thursday? Like, that's what Thursday's for.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't like the companies that start on Thursday night. Let it start Friday morning. That's great. Stop doing it on Thursday night.
I'm hoping that they're giving their employees the choice, plus Thanksgiving time and a half. So I'm hoping the employees have the choice whether to work Thursday, whether to work Friday. What? I've never went Black Friday shopping. You also mentioned, like, spending time with your family. I know that there's a lot of people that like to spend time together by shopping the deals. So another way to spend time with your family. I'm not one to go out and shop, certainly not waking up to go shop, but I do like to take advantage of a little like online Black Friday deal. So I'm trashing this one. Brendan, where are you at?
I'm pro Black Friday. I want to know the retail stores who A, are giving their employees a choice, and B, are paying them time and a half. I don't think they're doing either of those things.
I think you have to legally if you're working a holiday to make time and a half. I think that's a law.
Well, I can certainly tell you I haven't been when I've worked holidays.
Movie theaters open up on Thanksgiving.
No, as a part-time employee.
But, Brendan, you're in a third-grade state known as Michigan.
Wow.
I don't know.
First of all, online, there's no employees working anyway, so that doesn't count. I'm talking about the fact that you're so hard up to get as many sales as possible. You're going to open up Thursday night, make employees come in, and then watch, like, rugby scrums happen over electronics.
Well, that's why I said you gotta make sure the employees are saying yes. If they're demanding the employees to go in there, that's a hard line there.
I like Black Friday as a Black Friday. I'm with Joel on the Thursday stuff, and it's because of the employees. I don't really care if people make the choice to either spend the time with their family shopping or they make the choice to leave, you know, not hang out with their families. That's their choice. When it's the employee stuff, I'd rather them get to stay home. I'm with Joel. I'm cashing this one.
All right, here's my second one. Texas A&M has no choice but to bite the bullet on the $90 million, whatever is left of the Jimbo Fisher contract. At this point, it's a sunk cost. It's a sunk cost. They're not going to get better with him. The Aggies have no choice but to buy out Jimbo and move on from Coach Fisher.
I'm trashing this in a heartbeat because that's just too much money. If this was $16 million or this
you
was
must not want to win football games.
I think you force them to get an offensive coordinator, and you know we jokingly asked Gary Kubiak about it during a conversation, but you could get some guys that he would be okay with. But you say, hey, look, you're promised a whole lot of money. We made a commitment to you for a long, long period of time, and it involved winning as much as recruiting and everything else. And if offense has passed you by and you're going to collect this check, we've got to make some changes, whether you like it or not, but we want to work with you. But get someone else in here to call the plays. Do some things so you can focus on just the admin, CEO, what a head coach is supposed to do. and get this team, because you can't have the number one recruiting class in the country. You somehow can never get the quarterback position right and then stumble down your schedule and pee down your leg as much as they have this year without some things changing. I think that's too big of a money financial commitment for anybody, no matter how much your boosters are willing to absorb.
You're paying it anyways. You're either paying them to stay or you're paying them to go away.
But I don't know that whoever you bring in terms of recruiting and reputation, it might set you back a couple of years too. And the Aggies fans aren't willing to do that. I don't think that the boosters are too. So I'm trashing it. I think they got to keep them. I think they got to make changes on his staff.
I'm cashing them. Easy cash them. I do get what Joel's saying about the money. One, not my money. two, I think that the boosters are going to say what's happening isn't acceptable, and they're going to figure out a way to make the pay happen. That's
a buyout would be ideal.
But no, I'm cashing that.
Brendan, what's your last one?
All right. LSU needs to be jumped tonight in the playoff standings because there cannot be a two-loss. I don't care if they end up winning the SEC championship. They cannot be in the playoff. And as it stands, if they don't get jumped by USC or Clemson, they will be. You can all you want. The SEC has the resumes broken. They're not as good as we made them out to be. Arkansas, who we thought was good, wasn't. Kentucky, who we thought was good, wasn't. Oh, hey, look, Ole Miss has three losses. There are some great teams at the top of the SEC, but just getting a boost for being in it is dumb.
Go ahead, Jeremy. You're poofing. So.
Yeah, this is trashing for sure. If LSU beats the number one team in the country in the SEC championship game, they deserve to be in the college football playoff. Their two losses was week one of the season. They lost to Florida State by a point on a neutral field. They're in the top 20, and that was so long ago. Their other loss was against Tennessee when they still had Hendon Hooker, who looked like the best team in the country when they had Hendon Hooker. If LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, they absolutely belong in the college football playoff.
I hate doing this, I have to agree with Jeremy, just simply because of the fact that if you beat the best, then you should be considered one of the best and you should be in the playoff. The fact that they have overcome so much, new coach, first year, that Florida State game was a tough game and it would look like a debacle on both sides for a lot of it, and it looked like this was not going to be LSU's season. They were going to have to take their lumps. Not only are they not taking their lumps now, but to be in the position they're in, and everybody loves a good story, including the committee, if they beat the number one team in the nation in the SEC championship game, they fully deserve and should get an opportunity to play in the Final Four teams.
What is your favorite fast food item that is not currently on the menu? 713-780-ESPN.
Don't say McRib, Branham.
It's on the menu. It can't. 713-780-3776. What's your favorite fast food item that you can't currently find on the menu? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What's always on my menu and what should be on your menu is Gin Ol' Ben. The vodka should be on your menu. The gin should be on the menu. And the bourbon, which is easier to find than ever before, should be on your menu. Texas Gin Ol' Ben uses their state-of-the-art innovative Prosecco craft technology that makes them better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gin Ol' Ben, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gin Ol' Ben. Compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gin Ol' Ben Spirits, A&M class of 85, by the way, maybe he can help out Jimbo with that buyout. He had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I've been a Gin Ol' Ben man. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gin Ol' Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. And for the first time, you can get the bourbon out on the market. Double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. 10 different Specs locations around Houston. If you're in Galveston, try the Specs there. If you're in Pearland, Broadway Liquor, or Reserve Liquor in League City, get your hands on the double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, the Gin Ol' Ben Bourbon. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gin Ol' Ben.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is your favorite fast food item that you can't currently find on the menu? 713-780-ESPN. The menu here at Modelo Sports Cantina is fantastic. Had some nachos, had some fries. They were very good. Took a bite of sales guy Q's wing. Just half of one, though. It was very good. You know, let me have half. I'm sure the Wheelhouse will be trying some of their own.
Did
fantastic
he eat
place
the other
to
half?
Come have a... Yeah, he did. We met in the middle. Kind of like Lady and the Tramp with the spaghetti noodle. Yeah, I'm sure you believe that. Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. Swing on by. Wall-to-wall TVs. France whooping up on Australia in the World Cup. 4-1. Great spot to watch your football. Your basketball. College basketball game across the way as well. Feast week in college basketball. Come by. Tell your bartender server to make it a Coors or Miller Lite. Wheelhouse will be here until 7. Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. So, Blankers, Taco Bell's bringing back the Enchirito. I think it looks better than the Mexican pizza. That might be sacrilege for some people. But apparently this was an item that was introduced in 1970 by Taco Bell, but removed from the menu in 2013. I think you can kind of get the gist of what it is. Enchirito, half enchilada, half burrito. It's like this hybrid of a Mexican feast. It looks pretty good. I think it looks better than the Mexican pizza. But what is your favorite fast food item that is not currently on the menu?
Man, I'm kind of stumped on this one. Because I was telling Brendan, like, there's been a ton that I remember at restaurants and things where they just randomly, and even at grocery stores, when they decide to discontinue something and they don't let anybody know, and I get extremely pissed off. But you know me, I'm not a McRib guy when we had that debate. I like the things that I know are going to be on the menu, the quarter pounder with cheese and the chicken sandwiches and things like that. So I'm curious where you guys are with this because I don't eat that much fast food anyway, but I normally am a traditionalist when it comes to fast food.
For me, it is the Green Hatch Chili Burger at Whataburger, which is kind of seasonal. I think if you ask that they can kind of come close to making it the way that you want it. But the Green Hatch Chili Burger, I think, is the best cheeseburger you can find, period, from a fast food place. That one, for me, Brendan's my answer.
So I kind of have a funny story with mine. Mine is the Quesalupa at Taco Bell.
Somebody texted that one in.
It's a chalupa that shell is a quesadilla. And then it's so good. But they came out with this, I want to say, when I was like a freshman or sophomore in college. And I was obsessed with it. Probably the unhealthiest food item in fast food history. It went away after a short stint. It came back around the time I had a surgery and was like had no appetite for a week. And it was the most depressing time to know it existed, but I just wasn't interested in it. And then it's been gone ever since.
Man,
I had one.
That's rough.
And I had one, but if I would have been normal, I would have killed myself with how many I would have eaten. I would have eaten them daily.
So you're willing to go that far, though, it sounds like.
Oh, my God. They're so good. It's probably my favorite food item ever.
You were willing to put your life on the line.
I mean, maybe not quite that far, but I would have had too many.
713-780-3776. What's your favorite fast food item that's not currently on the menu? 6761, the Cheesy Frito Burrito, Taco Bell. You guys remember that one? I remember that one vaguely, but I think that there was chili on it.
I think you're right, too. But I've, you know what? Like, even with your green chilies thing, like, again,
great.
To me, I'm a traditionalist on burgers. I want the grilled mushrooms, the grilled onions, the cheese, and the patties, and I'm good. I don't want all that. I don't want salsa and Fritos and chilies and all that other stuff. I just think that sometimes it's too much stuff.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Get Homer in on this. I think that's a great name for this conversation. Homer, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Chick-fil-A used to have a carrot, raisin, and pineapple salad that was the bomb, and they took
carrot,
it away.
Carrot, raisin, pineapple? I am happy to say I've never tried that. Have you guys tried that?
Sounds like something that clears up constipation.
Raisin, cranberry, pineapple?
Yeah, that's the worst combination on the planet, regardless of throwing salad in there. No thank you.
I did not expect Homer to be a healthy eater, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
The name.
Yeah, I didn't expect Homer to be somebody who ate a bunch of salads.
You know what feels like it belongs like at the top of the list just generically for a lot of people is the snack wraps from McDonald's.
I have seen people talk about that.
Yeah.
I never had a snack wrap. What is that? It's just like the burger in a tortilla?
No. It was back. They also used to have Chicken Select, which was like chicken tenders, essentially, I guess.
Yeah.
It was just that with like salad, some type of sauce. I mean, they were good. I think it was salad, cheese, and then, like, they had a ranch one, a honey mustard one. I don't remember what else. They were good.
But it was chicken?
Yes.
I'm out on that a little
bit. They weren't, yeah. I was never the biggest fan of them. They were fine. But I know that there's a big following on those.
There used to be a burrito at Popeyes. I forget what it was called, but it was basically one of their chicken fingers, which you could get spicy or original, which, by the way, Popeyes chicken tenders, very underrated, very, very good. I'll take it over Cane's. But they would have it wrapped in a tortilla, and they would have it filled in with red beans and rice.
Okay.
So it was a Popeyes chicken finger with red beans and rice inside of it, inside of a tortilla. It was unbelievable, and they got rid of that. That was so good. My guy here at Modelo Sports Cantina, I just got his – he hasn't listened to me the entire hour that he's been here. He just turned around and gave me the thumbs up with the stuffed red beans and rice with the chicken finger. He knows what's up. He understands tastiness and quality.
According to MoneyWise, the most missed – discontinued items in fast food. Wendy's bacon and blue cheeseburger.
I don't like blue cheese in a burger. Only on wings.
Taco Bell volcano burrito.
I've never had the volcano burrito.
McDonald's Szechuan sauce? Was not aware.
I think I dipped my sushi in that.
Now, if I want any sauce evaluation, I go to Cody. He is the sauce master. Little Caesar's pepperoni crazy bread, which sounds good. I don't recall them ever breaking that out.
Justin on Twitter says the Grand Mac from Mickey D's. I never heard of it. Brother Bear says, are you old enough to remember the Mexi Melt at Taco Bell? I've only heard people talk
about it.
I don't even think I've ever seen it. Have you had that, Brendan? You're a Taco Bell aficionado.
You know, I feel like I remember the name of it, but I don't know what it was.
Oh, this has got Branham written all over it. Number six on MoneyWise, and I don't know if I've never heard of this. Burger King's Angry Whopper.
Was that the jalapenos?
This was released in 2008 as a tie-in to The Incredible Hulk. 980 calories, Whopper, quarter-pound beef patty, bacon, habanero, and manchego cheese, crispy fried onions, jalapenos, mayo, and sauce.
I'm out on it.
That sounds like too much again, right?
No, I'm out. How many calories did you say?
980.
Yeah, I like my burgers above 1,000. I'm out on the Angry okay. Burger from Whataburger. That's just not enough. For me. A lot of people on the text line. Steak and egg bagel from McDonald's. I remember that one.
Ooh, the McDonald's apple pie. The hot apple pie was good now.
I thought they still had that.
No, it says it's been discontinued.
I think they make it differently now. I think you can still get it, but I think it's made differently. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. Thanks to BMAC here, our on-site engineer at Modelo Sports Cantina in Beaumont. For Blank, I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.